Today's daf is daf tet, and we begin a couple lines down. Hayuna sui achota umeta. Now, this is okay. If you remember, we were discussing the machlok between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Chachamim or the Rabbanan regarding is it when they do yud, is it really from that point onwards, or is it really from the beginning? Meaning, was the kesef kiddushin? We said, well, a few things we kind of had to we mentioned. The question was, does it have to be some sort of value left? That was the original nafkamina we said in her of her value in order to yud. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he says it was when it has to be some shabra putel worth because it's mekadesh with the actual value left. Whereas Chachamim says the original money that was used for the mechira. That is, or the kniyah, I should say, that was the kesef kiddushin. So now we're saying, what happens if the time when she became an amana ivriya, hayanasui et achota, the adon was already married to her sister, umeta, and during that time the sister passed away. The question is, the Gemara says, man de amar besof nitan kesef liyodin, eino tzricha, change the word here, eino tzricha kesef acher. A few changes here according to the Korban Eidah. So in other words, if you say that at the end there has to be some sort of value, meaning at the end that's a kesef kiddushin, if you like, well, that's not a problem. You don't have to give any other money because at that time, at the end, the ama ivriya is able to marry her. So therefore, he doesn't need any kesef acher. It works. However, ma'an da ama b'sharish nitan kesef liyodin, then change it here, tzricha kesef acher. If I would be saying, according to the Chachamim, that really the original money that was given was really to purchase her, was really like the kesef kiddushin. The problem is at that time, he couldn't mekadesh her. Why? Because he was married to the sister. So if he wants to do yud, he has to now give other, he has to do it with other money. He can't rely on the money from the original purchase. That's the explanation of the debate. So Gemara says no. Afilu kamanda amar even according to the shidit says besof nit again not misharishuna besof nitan kesef odim tzil tzricha kesef acher. Meaning even according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, the shaver pruto, the money at the end, the value in that's doing the actual kiddushin. Still, you wouldn't be able to rely on the value that's remaining, let's say, in her. For example, the Giru Eha. You'd still have to give it extra kesef kiddushin. Why? Lama? Because kol ama modesh ein kiddushin betofsim ba'ariot. Okay. And because all, if you like, everyone agrees that the kiddushin doesn't work for the kiddushin arot. Or misfer savar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda ilin yu'idim da'hacha kiddushin Torah. And the yud itself resembles, if you like, kiddushei Torah. So to explain this, it's going to take a little bit of work, but the gist of all the pirushim really seem to be that at this stage, that even if you say according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, it's the man at the end that really forms the yud, actually does it, and not the man in the beginning, the process still started all the way at the beginning. Okay. Even though it's actually the yi'ud, the kiddushin, the money, everything's happening at the very end, the process still somehow started at the beginning. And since at the very beginning, we'll explain how this will work in a moment, and since at the beginning, if you like, he wasn't able to marry her because at that time he was married to the sister, therefore, even if you say the money at the end does it, or the value at the end does it, he'll still have to have new kiddushin because the whole process on what this is hinging upon couldn't get off the ground. Okay, that's begadol this svara here. So I'll show you the two different explanations according to the Korban Eidah. He says, "Stam de shaskama de af der bi Yossi ben Yehuda bichi agav na tzrich kesef acher." Why? De lekach mahani shomer hareyat miyodet li al kesef aknia, because he says that really when he says miyodet li al kesef aknia on the money used for the purchase, meaning really your value. Afagav de ketana ein layad, really a ketana, how could she marry herself off? Mishum denasi ki ilo omera av b'shat shem machra, because it's as if when the father, if you like, sold her, he said, se'i go v'kibla kiddushech, and go accept your, if you like, kiddushin. V'kevin dekula madashem, and since everyone agrees that kiddushin doesn't toss it, but ariot im ken b'shat mechira, on which this is really hinging, lighter olo, couldn't have done it. Hilkach tzricha kesef acher. So it seems to be saying that it's as if he's saying that even according to, again, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, that really it's a money, the value at the end that's needed, that shavah prutah that actually does the yi'ud. and it's not the, if you like, the money that was paid in the beginning, still it's as if that we're still somehow reliant on that process in the beginning, because the father, because she's a ketana at the end of the day. And it was almost like the father needed to give her authority, if you like, to mekabel when you like. But since in the beginning he couldn't have given that authority because she wouldn't have got married at that point, it doesn't work. That's kind of what it sounds like. However, he says, Lishna Harina, another understanding is, Afilu Rabbi Yossi Barina Tzricha Kesef Acher, the Mishah Yehud, from the moment of Yehud, Amrinon de Igla Milta Lamafreya, it becomes clear retroactively, de Ma'at Rishonot, that the original money was Lekiddushin Nitna, which is now bringing this much closer to the opinion of the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim say with Vada'ut that the money at the beginning was Lekedushin. However, Hachak, even the Kula Alma modded to Ein Kedushin Tofsin Ba'ariot, since everyone agrees that the Kedushin doesn't Tofsin Ba'ariot, it will melt my friend that the money that was given in the beginning was L'shem Matana. Okay? That money was given to L'shem Matana and not, if you like, the as a Kesef Kedushin, even though it's not really Mamash Kesef Kedushin. I find this a little bit difficult to rationalize, because it was Chachamim that says Kesef Kedushin. But it sounds like we need to, again, both Pirushim seem to require hinging on that. Even if you say the money at the end, again, Rabbi Yehuda, even the money at the end is what is necessary, not the money. The value at the end is necessary to actually do the Yehud. Still, we're somehow dependent on that, the beginning of the, let's call it the process. That's Begadol what it sounds like. And that's why he says, fine. Now the Gemara continues. The way the Korban Eid explains the continuation is this is coming to show that Yi'ud really resembles Kiddushin. And just Kiddushin doesn't work with Issura Ariot, so too Yi'ud. All this, the beginning of the process of Yi'ud wouldn't work for Issura Ariot as well, and that's a continuation. However, the way the other Mefarshim explain it, this wasn't asked, I tried to understand Tosfot, I read it, it's very, very long. It says that this actually part is actually to reject it. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi ber Rabbi Yehuda, there's no stretching process being at the end. It happens at the end, full stop. Okay? And if it, and therefore, that you wouldn't need Kesef Acher, meaning because everything's happening at the very end when the Adon wants to do Yehud. That's when everything's occurring. There's no dependency on the beginning. So even if she was married to a, like we said in the beginning, even if the Adon was married to the sister of the time, at the time when he does Kona the Ama Ivriya, it doesn't really matter, because as long as at the time of Yehud at the end, he's able to marry her, then it's fine. So that's two ways to explain the continuation. But let's just read the, like, try and learn through the continuation to understand exactly what it's saying. So the Gemara says, sorry, just lost the place. Yeah, so Kiddushin. So Amar Rav Avun, Atid Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, like, who says, you know, you need that some sort of value at the end to do Kiddushin, is like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Why? Datani bepikadon sheyesh li biyadcha. If it's the pikadon that sheyesh li biyadcha, he entrusts it with an object. Vacha o matzato, and he finds it was stolen or she'avad, and or it was lost. If there's some value, shaver porter's worth of pikadon left in her possession, then mekudesh. If in love, ainu mekudesh. Okay. In other words, I've given you something. I'm gonna let you keep it. Well, it has to be something of value left, not just you lost it. Now owe me it. So I'm gonna forego that. Forego that, if you like, obligation to pay me back for that which I entrusted you with. However, it says malvesh. If he says, you actually owe me money. But for that debt, it says, Mavish Lishbadcha, sorry, so he gave her, he lent her $100. And then it was found that there was nothing left. Even if there's no money left, she spent it, she was always completely stolen, all the money. Then we say, then it's still Mekudeshet. Why? Because with that, the Hana that I'm telling the what the first opinion is, with the Hana that he's saying, look, you don't have to pay me, you don't have to pay off the debt. That Hana itself is enough to do Kiddushin with. Okay? Now, however, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Malve, a loan is like a pikadon. Im nishtayer bo shaver pruta, there has to be still a shaver pruta's amount left. It can't just be foregoing the debt. There has to be, of that original money left, some shaver pruta's worth there to do Mekudeshet. Im lav enu Mekudeshet. Mamash like a pikadon. Okay. The Gemara says, Kamada Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar avin malve pikadon. Just like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, a malve is like a pikadon, meaning it has to be something of value still there Ken Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Avid Yehudim Kamalve. So too Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda makes a Yehud like a Malve, such that if you remember Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda up above, who required a Shavar Putta left. So too, he treats it like Kiddushin. So according to Korban Eda means that you're going to run into problems just like Kiddushin is tofes with Isarei Ariot. So too, not with Yehud. Okay, and according to the other Mafarshim, this is actually the Kasha that you see quite clearly. Everything happens at the end. Okay, those are the two ways to explain the continuation of the Gemara. Okay, the Marana says. Back to Yehud. The Gemara says, "V'im livno yadena." The Gemara says, "Livno miyadena eno meada the achiv." So when it comes to Yehud, either Adon can do Yehud to effectively marry this Amaria, or he can, if you like, marry her off to his son. Okay, that's what the Torah says. But not to his brother, because the Torah says specifically im livno yadena. Gemara says v'yaden l'achiv. So why can't he? Why can't also for his brother? The meaning of Don's brother. Mikav l'duk kav v'chomer ma ima ben she'enu kam tafta l'chilitza l'yibum. You see, who is closer halachically? Well, if you think about it, the brother can stand in the man's stead in the context of yibum chalitza, but the son is not able to do so. Okay, so you'd think there's a closer familiarity, if you like, or a closer relationship halachically between him and his brother than him and his son. Okay, so kam tachtav lechlitza li b'mharehu mi'ada lo achiv. So, and sorry, ma ima ben she'enu kam tachtav lechlitza uli yibum harei mi'adena lo mi'ada lo echav shu kam tachtav lechlitza li b'mharehu she'adena lo. So if Yehud works for the son who can't do yibum chalitza for the father's wife, if like, which is really his mother, well, and the brothers can cover chomer, they should be able to yehud. The brothers should be able to. Okay, so the Gemara says no, lo mimata ben, you're cherry picking halachas here to show an extra closeness between the brother. Look at a different halacha. Imamata ben shu kam tachtav b'steachuza, tumer b'achiv she'enu kam tachtav b'steachuza. So steachuza, if you remember, is one's ancestral lands. If they were Makadosh Beis Hamikdash, they have to redeem it. And there's this particular formula and sum per year that they have to pay based on the space in order to get it back. If Beit Din sells it to somebody else if the Beis Hamikdash, the Gizbar sells it to somebody else and it's not redeemed, the land isn't redeemed prior to the Ovil year, what happens? It doesn't go back to the original owners. Instead, it'll be given and distributed amongst the Kohanim. What's interesting here is Basteh Chuzah. What happens if he didn't redeem him back, but his son did? In that situation, we say that it does go back to him during the Ovil. Why? Because the son is kam tachtav, is equivalent to the father with respect to this law. So here we're saying, well, that works much better than, we see a much tighter closeness now between the son and the father than you find by a brother and this, the brother of the father, or the uncle and the father. Because by steachuzah, you don't have that law. So Gemara says, fine. So, you know, this you try and bring a kavah chomer from Yibum Chalitza, well, that whole kavah chomer falls apart, just we learned by Steach Uzzah. Lo emimata b'ven shu kam tachta b'steach Uzzah, tomar b'achiv she'enu kam tachta b'steach Uzzah. Dinu she'adena lo. So Gemara says, Talmud lomar v'im livno ya'adena. Livno hu mi'ada v'inu mi'ada l'achiv. So again, we've got a specific pasuk that tells us explicitly that if the Yitwood is only to his son and not to the brother. So the Gemara says, here, give us a change, but it says, Tam lo im libno biadena, libno hu miada velo lib. And then the Gemara continues, im lo liabdena, libno hu miada velo leben beno. So there's like a line missing here that we had in Yavamot. This is what we've done in Yavamot already. But it says that next thing we learn is Yehud only works to his son, but not to his grandson. Okay, so the Adon has this Amaria thinks, one second, I'm not interested, I'm too old, my son's also old, but maybe I can give it to a grandson? No, that wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, Shmuel bar Abba bay kamei Rav Zira, parsha nachlo, when it comes to Yerusha, meaning, at avid ben ben keben, you treat the grandson, the ben of the ben like a ben, meaning, let's say there was a son and a daughter, what usually happens, a nachla goes to the son. What if the son died and left a son? The grandson, which is the son of the son, is exactly the same position as the son would have been. And he would also be in preference to the daughter, for example. So when it comes to the lachala, when laws of inheritance, the grandson has the same din as the son. Vahacha, when it comes to you, you're saying, let avid ben ben kaben. You don't treat the grandson like the son. you would only go to that don or the son and not to the grandson. So Amar Ziramanda Amar Li Hada Milta Anamish Mashkele Kunditun. Whoever can explain or answer this kasha, I will give him this fine spiced wine. He was just desperately wanted to understand, to resolve the kasha. So hey, to Rav Nachum. Rav Nachum really tries to present a solution. Look at the Parshat Nachalot. Hare Asita Ach Keben. There in the Parshat of Nachalot, we find that the brother would eventually inherit in the absence of sons, meaning there's still, in the Parshat of Nachalot, other relatives have a shaykhut to it. Granted, if there's a son that will inherit it, but in the absence of a son, the uncle would get it. Things like, absence of the children, then the uncle, etc. The Shar Krova, and also other Krovim are like the Ben. So in that situation, when there's much more flexibility of who's involved in the parasha, okay, Ben Keben. Then we'll treat the grandson like a son because we already have the capacity to spread the net very far. The Kan Shalot Zita, but when it comes to Yi'ud, when there's much more restricted definition, meaning only the Ben can do Yi'ud, the Shakro Krovav, Keben, Einatasa, well, it should be ain, but the Sharkol Kakrovim really aren't like that case. Einu Keben probably should add here. Says, Einat Oseh Ben Keben, so therefore the grandson would not be. So in other words, understanding is don't compare Nachalot to Yi'ud, because the reason why we're more flexible in definition of a son is because we're more flexible in terms of who, because the scope of who's involved in Parsha Nachalot is much, much broader. Because you can involve the daughter, you can involve the uncle, you can involve the father, depending on the order of precedence. So don't be surprised if Ben is like Ben. But in our case, by Yud, I can explain to you why it's only Ben, because there's no flexibility. It's only the Ben, no other relatives. So that's therefore very specific. The Gemara says, Meitivin, the Chachamin, Meitivin Rabbana de Kisrin, they came back and said, that's not a good proof. Hare Parashat Tuma, when it comes to Parashat Tuma, in terms of the close relatives that meaning that a Kohen can become a Tamefor. Hare Sita Ach Keben. It's not just the Kohen's son he can become Tamefor. It's his brother, other close relative as well. The Sharkov Keben. The Einata, and there you don't make Oseh Ben Keben. But the grandson is not like the son. So you see here, I found you another proof, another error in Halacha, that even though if we're widening the scope to include other relatives, we still don't treat the grandson as the same status of the son. So Amrin Azil Kunditon. He says, there I was thinking I'll get this prize of spiced wine with my answer, but there it goes, if you like. You know, this counter kasha makes my whole argument fall apart. So we're still not really sure why. We're not sure why. The question is left unanswered, why specifically Ben and not Ben. Okay. The Marana says, Im Livno Yadena. Now it says Lidona has to be, the first opinion has to be Ladat. Ladat Aben. Meaning it has to be with the consent of the son to do Yud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Leikan Ladat. Absolutely not. Doesn't need the dat of the Ben. Which is interesting, because why? Because the way Reb Chaim explains back in Masech Yavamot, he says, when this according to Chachamim, what's a Kesef Kiddushin? The Kesef Kiddushin is effectively the money that was used to purchase the Ama Ibriya. Nachon? And at that time, did the son make him a Mashiach? No. So if the son didn't make it, if that's the Kiddushin, if the Kesef Kiddushin is what's going to affect it, and back whenever it was, the Kinyan, he wasn't the Shiliach, so clearly it can be done Baal Korcho, without the doubt of the son. Okay, fine. Arav Yalcha Baracha, it kan Karebi Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. So in other words, no, we don't have to say Leikan, you can say that actually we do need data. And that opinion that you just saw, that brighter, is expressed in the opinion of Rossi Rebbe Yehuda, who says it's at the end, the money at the end, not the money in the beginning that affects the value at the end, not the money in the beginning that is what is affecting yield. However, Amrav Shmuel Bar Avduma, Afilu Tema, even according to, Afilu Tema, it can Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. If you want to say, even if you want to say that bright in the beginning that says you need dad is Rebbe Yossi Yehuda, that still won't make sense. Why? Because yield can be done v'lo katanhu. Because as we'll see in a moment, which is actually going to be a subject of debate, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that the benor that you can do yield for is even if he's a katan. That's quite a chiddush, that a katan can be married. But that's through an amavriya and his father, you know, doing yield. So if that's the case, then you shouldn't need dat, because he's a katan, he doesn't have dat. So you see, dat's not necessary, even though really lekula alma, even if you say that man at the end is the value at the end is what's forming the kiddushin. Now, Gemara now says, well, having just mentioned that, I've just sort of given you a preview to this debate, but the Gemara now says, Im lo b'dena l'dat, Rabbi Yochanan says, Mi'adeno bein livno gadol, bein livno katan, bein l'dat, bein shalodat, Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato, that really it can be done to his son, whether the son is a gadol or katan, meaning over under bar mitzvah, with his knowledge, or with his consent or without his consent. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, absolutely not. Eimad ela livno gadol, ubavad l'dat, require dat, and it's only to a gadol. Because obviously, if he required dat from the ben, he has to be a gadol because he doesn't have consider having dat if he's younger. Now, here you have a breita. This is back in Yavam. We said this is Amar Biosi. Ben teshashanim v'yom echad ose almana lekoen gadol grusha v'chulas lekoen yehadiot. Now, this related to all manners of halachas that relate to a 9-year-old boy. Okay. And the difference between a 9-year-old boy is, if we remember, we say biato is considered bia. And if he has relations, it has a halachic significance. But amongst that is mentioned other dinim as well, that he can make an alma lelakoen gadol grusha v'chulatz lakoen yehadiot. Okay. A 9-year-old can have a widow? Ech zecholiot. So the Gemara now says, now we've got to insert the words really here. Korbaneda has it here that we have in Yavamot. Al dat, you can read and continue really in the Korbaneda. Al dat, Rabbi Yochanan, duhu pata labi yud. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we have a situation which a katan can get married, the oraita, how? Through yud, as we just explained. Because if the father purchased an ama ivriya and then wanted to yud, he can do it even for his benoah katan. So that's how you can get a almana. He can create her as being an almana d'oraisa if he ended up dying. We'll discuss grusha in a moment. That might be more difficult. Have a nicha yudin sheesh lo kinyan bo ose almana lekoen gadol begrusha lekoen yehadiot. However, now we go back to the Gemara al dat Reb Shimon ben Lakish du pata ben nesuin. According to Reb Shimon ben Lakish, that actually said that you can't rely on yud because yud doesn't apply to a katan. Then you're going to have to be saying now that when it says a 9-year-old can make an almana, it has to be through nisuin and not through yud. So then, how do you have nisuin applying to a 9-year-old? It should be ptura min achalitzu min hayobum. So it says va'atani, as we said, nasa isha umet ptura min achalitzu min hayobum. That if you end up marrying a 9-year-old, end up trying to marry someone and then died, that it's not really considered kishon d'oraisa, and the wife wouldn't require yibum mechalitza. So I'll just restate where we're up to at this stage. We saw really debate from Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether yiud can apply to a katan, and if it can, which is according to Rabbi Yochanan, then really you can have a katan that's married d'oraisa. We've got this braita that seemed to be saying that you've got a 9-year-old can affect, it can affect, sound like he can get married. He can create almana, which would be asu tven gadol. We've got concept of yibum mechalitza and the like. Kurum Yachan, that makes a lot of sense. Because we found an avenue in which you can get Kiddush, this 9-year-old can marry Doraisa through the mechanism of Yud. According to Rosh Hashanah Lakish, you don't have that opportunity. So how can you have the consequences of a 9-year-old being married Doraisa? Because we said if a 9-year-old tried to marry someone Doraisa, it's Patum Yemel Chalitza. It doesn't seem to make sense. So Gemara now says, actually, Amar Rav Avram Avon, so he's like Rabbi Yossi Behuda Detani, Ben Teshachin of Yomechad, the Ad Ben Shtem Asarshana, a 9-year-old who, from the age of 9 until he's 12, Shevish De Sarot, and seemed to produce some sort of pubic hairs, we say, Harez Esuma, it's just hairs growing out of a mole. It has no significance for his gadlut. He's still considered a katan. However, Amr Yossi Behuda says, "Hare elu simanim." They can actually be simanim. So, therefore, you see, according to Rabbi Yossi Behuda, you can have already from the age of 9 a gadol. That's the point. So, it must be how Rabbi Shimon Lakish would have to say, like Rabbi Yossi Behuda, in order for that Mishnah, above to make sense. Do you have a 9-year-old that can create an almanala, etc.? Meaning those simanim that this 9-year-old saw has to stick around, if you like, all the way till a 12-year-old. Because if they were there fleetingly and fell off, then we just say it was just an abnormality, if you like. Now Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bai amdu bo beshat simanim lamafreya hu nase ish o michano la'aba. So here, we sort of park for a moment everything we've been saying and almost start afresh. When according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda, when said Harei Elohim, and the question is it lemafreya? Meaning, do we look at him a gadol already from when he was nine and like about 9 years when he started seeing the simanim, or is it really only mikano lahaba? Now, we have to pause for a second to understand what the debate. If you want to say the debate is, oh, when he was, if you want to say the first way that according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda was nine, then according to Chachamim, the argument say resuma, meaning no, only if he sees siman, only from the age of say 13 or 12 to 13. Okay. However, if you want to say mikano lahaba, what then is the debate between Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda and Chachamim? The debate is regarding those simanim, meaning. Let's say the simanim were there, and a Jew would pass age of 12, according to the Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. Okay, now we consider him a gadol. According to Chachamim, we can't because those hairs that grew early aren't considered simanim for him to become considered a gadol, even though he has them now. That would be the other way of understanding the discussion. Now, initially we explained it the first way, and the Gemara will come to it too. Amar le Rabun, this is pshita le lemafreya hu nase ish kol sheken lehava. So clearly it must be that he's a gadol according to Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda all the way from when he first saw it, say from the age of nine. Du patel, why? Because that's why we explained how did Rabbi Shimon melakish Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda? Because as we explained above, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, that doesn't have the ability of a katan to have yehud applied for him. And therefore, we said the only way you can have Kedushin Dorais is to have all the implications and consequences from in terms of Grusha B'chulutza, the Grusha B'chulutza Hedyot, etc. That would only be according if you can have a proper Kedushin from the age of nine. The Gemara says, V'lama let Rabbi Yossi pata hadad Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. Why didn't Rabbi Yossi initially, if you like, explain that Rabbi Shimon Lakish was like Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda? And the answer is because Amar Rabbanan Tava Tzrichalei. Because he had a question, because Rabbi Yossi asked, he had the question, Amdu. So in other words, Kyanda seemed to be spiraling in circles with this sugya, but it really is saying that the reason why Rabbi Yossi didn't simply answer, ah, remember, Rabbi Yossi is the one that brought this in the beginning. Rabbi Yossi, Ben Tesh brought this brighter that seemed to be a kedikasha. The reason why he brought as a kasha Rabbi Shimon Malakish and explained Rabbi Shimon Malakish was Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda, because he really had a suffix what Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda meant regarding the simanim, if it's the mafreya from when he's nine, or we can rely on them now that he is older to say these are simanim. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, we've established already that from a nine-year-old, he can create an almana, meaning if he dies, his wife would be considered a widow and not allowed to marry a kohen. Going to Rabbi Yochanan, we say quite clearly if it was through the context of Yehud first, that's how he married her. And according to Shimon Lakish, this is a child who matured very early. Now the Gemara says, but what about Grusha? How can you have a nine-year-old that can divorce? A nine-year-old is not a bar das. How can he actually do Girushin? So Gemara says, Tifta Shaba'ale Meshehigdil. With the simple understanding is, Shaba'aleya, meaning he was married to her, and Meshehigdil Natan La Get. And only when he was older, meaning he was 13, he gave a get. So what does it mean then, Ben Teshanim V'Yom Echad, this bride that says, V'Yashem Yom Echad, or Se Amalak and V'Grusha B'Chud Chedziot, meaning his Kiddushin that he did when he was a nine-year-old, if he divorces once he's older, that kiddushin can make her an almana, but not that a nine-year-old, sorry, a grusha, and not, but not that a nine-year-old can make her a grusha because he can't divorce her yet. It's just not possible. Now Gemara says, okay, what about chalitza? How does that chalitz? Okay, chalitza. How can you do chalitza? He's only a nine-year-old. How can you make a chalitza? So tiftar. Sorry. Fix this over here. Tiftar Shaba'aleya Umet V'chatzula Achim V'al Yadamim Naset Chalutza. In other words, once again, we're trying to say the same thing. It's not that he can make a chalutza by doing, in other words, by being involved in the process of chalutza, but if in one of these situations he ended up dying and they didn't have any children because he's like only nine or 9 or 10, then the brothers would make her a chalutza. By way, in other words, if the Kiddusha Ketana can be the origin of a chalutza. That's the point. Now the Gemara says, let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, yehud applies, we said, to a katan, nachon. So the Gemara says, if yehud applies to a katan, why did that braita talk about only a nine-year-old? If yehud applies to a katan, it could be a six-year-old, it could be a four-year-old. No? So it says, ma'ata afilu b'chom ben tesha. And the Gemara says, amarav shmul barav duma. Abu Dama says, it's you're right, it's true. El begin de tana de kulun tesha, tani af hada imahun, because there are other consequences in that bright or in that discussion that we needed a 9-year-old for. For example, all the Isserei Ariot and the like, they just use a 9-year-old. And since we're mentioning all these things for a katan above nine, we also happen to mention this case of Yehud, the case of Yehud according to Yochanan as well, but really it could also apply for younger than that, but it's all just grouped together. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi b'shem Rabbi Shua ben Levi, me'achaz lamad Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda. It was really from Achaz that Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda understood that you can have a gadol under the, from already from the age of nine. Why? De tanya achaz holid ben tesha. So understand this. Let's go through the Korban Eda. It says, the Ben Esrim Aya Kishamalach. He was 20 years old when he was king. And he reigned for 15 years. Veteva Shana Malach. Harisha Koshanov, he was only lived to age of 35. That's Achaz. V'chizkiyahu beno, how old was he? Haya ben esrim v'chamesh shana kishemet aviv. And he was 25 years old when his father passed away. Harei sh'nolad chizkiyah, then chizkiyah was born, if that's the case, if there's only 10 years between them, kishya achaz ben esr shanim. And therefore, but you've also got to include the months of pregnancy as well. The kadam madit tisha chodashim de dimei ibur, you find out that really he was conceived when Achaz was 9 years old. So look at the chronology in Tanakh. You see, therefore, a 9-year-old can already have a child, and if it can have a child, is already considered gadol at that stage. Okay, that's his proof. Similarly, Haran is ben shesh, and Kalev is ben eser. Meaning, Haran gave birth when he was six. How so? Because you have a look at it. The commentator says, "She'avram haya gadol minachor shana achad." He was 1 year older, but Nachor was older than Haran by 2 years. Shana achad, sorry. Okay, Nimtza Haran was a 2 years younger than Avram. Fine. The Avram kashish misara, and what was the age between Sarah and Abraham? We know that was 10. It was 10 years difference. Dichtiv, it says meforosh in the pasuk. Kala ben mea shana yolid ve'im Sarah yolid. Okay, the pasuk clearly gives their age differences. So once again, Sarah's father though is only 8 years older than Sarah then. Well, have a look. V'im Sarah ha-bat tishim, it says, ten shanat iburah shel Milka, but she had an older sister as well. V'shanat iburah shel Yiska, which is Sarah. Therefore, subtract from the 8 year difference 2 years, you can add the fact that he was only 6 years old. Now, what's really interesting here, is what's really left as a question is why didn't Rabbi Yosef learn from this case that a 6 year old can give birth, not? Because he said, hey, look at even a 9 year old can give birth. Why didn't he learn from Haran? And it's also clear because even the Korban Eda says, oh, he didn't learn from Haran because he could have had offset years and maybe 7 years old. So learn a 7 year old. So it's really left as a question. And the final ones, Kalev was Ben Eser. That Kalev gave birth to it, was able to conceive a child when he was 10 years old. How so? So here, a bit more work. It says, Kalev, he was 40 years old when he went to one of the Maraglim, Ragelet Aretz. Ve'az Betzalel was 14 years old. Okay. Why? Because when the Mishkan was erected, Betzalel was at the youngest 13. Nichtiv, because it was Ish Mimlachto. It was a young boy. It can be no longer that you're no longer than 13. So Dal Abasra, because it was a year later than Raglim. So Dal Abas, so Dal Ab, sorry, yeah, sorry. Take 14 years off Betzalel. Pashlo. Therefore, you've got a 26-year difference between who? Between Kalev and Bezalel. How does that help us? Well, we'll get there. But there's a few generations between Kalev and Bezalel. Why? Dal tarte shane. You've got to take off 2 years for three pregnancies. Esha, the kol chad v'chad bar tamne. That all the generations between them were, if you divide it by 24 now, because three generations, had to be at least 8 years between them when they were born. Okay? So why did it say 10 years? Because it's Uri, because Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur ben, we'll get to Kalev in a moment. Holy Keshur ben Sheshul Pachod. In other words, the maximum, the oldest you can have Kalev would be 10, because then you've got two other generations, it would mean they're 6 and you can't get lower than 6. That's kind of the understanding here, based on what we saw by Haran. Now, the Gemara just ends, just to finish this off, it says, this must be Commander Amar Kalev ben Chotzron, who Kalev ben Yefuneh. How so? Dichtiv in the Maraglim, who was our Kalev? He was the 40-year-old Kalev who went to the one of the Maraglim, the famous Kalev. He was Kalev ben Yefuneh. However, in Divrei Yamim it says, "V'kachlo Kalev ben Chetzron et Ephrat, v'taled lo et Chur, and Betzalel ben Or ben Chur." So in Divrei Yamim, we've learned that the great grandfather of Betzalel was Kalev ben Chetzron. So for this all to stack up, you have to say that Kalev ben Chetzron is the same person as Kalev ben Yefuneh. That's what the Gemara says. Command Amar Kalev ben Chetzron, it was Kalev ben Yefuneh. That's how you get that Kalev being a 10-year-old at the very oldest would have been able to have a child. Okay, Besada, God have a good day.
Rashi
Thank
says,
you.
though, differently, by the way, if I remember correctly.
Sorry.
Rashi says that, I don't know which one, either Chetzron or Yefuneh raised him. He was physically born to one of them, but he was raised by the other one. That's why you find twice different names.
What, who by Kalev?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
It's
but
quite different.
that would.
I'm saying Rashi
So no, but
has a
that's the point.
different.
If it's the same person, two different names, we're still saying it's the same person.
No, but the reason why it mentions the different name is because he was raised by that person.
But still, we're
Well,
still saying.
not born.
No, I understand. I understand. But the point is, you're still saying that Kalev ben Chetzron and Kalev ben Yefuneh is the same person. It just references a different parent for different being raised by different people.
Okay.
That, so it's consistent with the Gemara. All right, et cetera. All right, call to